Have you ever been driving down a road? Beautiful country road, maybe in the mountain, beautiful lake next to you, just shimmering lake, or possibly a crystal clear river, beautiful trees, blue sky, just a beautiful drive. Then out of nowhere, splat, bug hits your windshield. And now, the beauty's still there, all the scenery's still there, but where'd your focus go? What are you looking at? Suddenly, that little bitty bug that just hit your windshield just ruined it all. Kind of in the same vein, have you ever been driving down the road, you know, having an in-depth conversation with somebody in the car with you, or listening to a radio station, maybe talk radio, looking at the beautiful sunset or looking at the scenery, and you look around and realize about 2 miles back you missed your exit. Wow. Many of us here today, or I'd say a few of us anyway, grew up and times were much different. Things were much, much different. Back in 1972, just give you a few tidbits here. Back in 1972 was the first real video game. It was by Atari, known as Pong. That's what I grew up with, Pong. And I'm going to speak strictly for myself and, the era I grew up in. California had some advantages over the Midwest. I think we had a few more television stations, and we had 7 where I lived. But they all went off the air, and you had that big, it looked like a bullseye that you threw a dart at right after midnight. Everything shut down. Back then, we didn't have any cell phones. Computer? Nah. Entertainment? We considered getting together with family and friends, going to the park, playing baseball. You know, this was entertainment. These were things that we did to kind of entertain ourselves. Let's move forward to today. Now, today we've got the Wii, we've got the Xbox, we've got the PlayStation, we've got Nintendo, we've got hundreds and hundreds of electronic games that are just right there, all forms of entertainment. Now, I don't think anybody really knows the exact count of how many television stations there are today, and I'm not sure if any of them go off the air, because what they're doing is doing those paid programming things, so it doesn't matter. You can always turn on a TV station, and there's something to watch, more entertainment. Now, today, we don't just have cell phones, but we've got smartphones. We've got these gadgets that, you can turn your lights off at home on your cell phone. Oh, you can play, what is that, Angry Birds on your cell phone. I think I got 22 different versions of the Bible on my cell phone. So we've really become dependent on gadgets and technology. Now, let's go into computers. How many, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, online banking. Well, you rely on it, automatic check deposit. Everything is really convenient for all of us. Well, with all of these innovations in technology, all these gadgets and all these things around us, is that a good thing? Is that a real good thing? What we're going to talk about today are the world's, and I won't say the world's, I'm going to say the many distractions that surround us. And some aren't all bad. You know, they're not necessarily distractions. They're just kind of sidetracks. And there's God himself loves entertainment. He loves when the angels sing. God loves entertainment. But that's, I think, one of the world's biggest distractions is entertainment, and sometimes ourselves. So we're going to look at the similarities between those physical distractions and what we might all call spiritual distractions. And Mr. McGee covered, I'll just kind of pick up where he left off with some of this. He was talking about focus, and that's really where we're going to get into is focus and what we're here for, what we should be doing. Today's message is to help each and every one of us recognize the symptoms of spiritual distraction. Or, in some cases, it may be a physical distraction that causes a spiritual distraction. And how we as God's people can recognize it and fight it. So, let's start off by looking at a quick definition. And Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, the definition, and this is the physical kind of distraction. And I'm not going to read the whole definition because it's pretty lengthy. Well, obviously, defines distraction as distraction. A drawing apart. A separation. Something that separates you. That which diverts attention. Turns your head. You know, makes you look the other way. Something that takes your eyes off the specific goal. Now, a couple of the words they use in this definition are pretty interesting. I found interesting. Confusion. Perplexity. And these last two that I've just highlighted is disturbance, derangement. One of them is actually madness, is part of the definition in Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, part of the definition of distraction. One of the greatest or one of the worst dangers of distraction, I'm going to say physical or spiritual distraction, is when it happens to each and every one of us, it's too late. It's too late. We're unaware. We don't even know what's happening until, wow, I'm distracted. You know, that splat the bug. All of a sudden, your attention is diverted on that bug. The title of today's message kind of speaks for itself. The Master of Distraction. And Mr. McGee covered quite well where the first distractions really took place. It didn't take place in this physical realm. It took place with Satan himself, the author of distraction, the master of distraction. So I wanted to do a little bit of research as I put this message together, and I was wanting to find a definition for spiritual distraction. Yeah, so I did the typical thing, used my nifty little computer and logged onto the internet and used all the search engines and typed in as the keywords, spiritual distraction. And, wow, there's no real, you can find spiritual, you can find distraction, but you can't find the two linked with one another. I did find a couple articles online. I won't mention those, just do the search for yourself and let me know what you find. Now, a spiritual distraction is much like a physical distraction. They all come in many different shapes and sizes. You don't know how it's going to broadside you. You don't know how it's going to hit you. And as I stated, there's really not a definition for a spiritual distraction. But for today, we're actually going to create one. You know, I'm not trying to invent something on my own, but we need to understand exactly what a spiritual distraction is. Well, we've heard that a physical distraction is something that separates, diverts our attention, makes us look the other way. So a spiritual distraction is anything that diverts our attention from serving God, serving God's people, and turning our attention inward on ourselves, where we become the focal point, where we're the focus, and no longer looking at the important things, which is God's plan of salvation for each and every one of us. Our serving and recognizing the brethren. Another point is anything that takes away time from our prayer life, our relationship with God, and our relationship with God's people. Anything that takes time away from our study of God's Word. That's key. How do we stay educated? How do we stay focused, as Mr. McGee pointed out, on what the goal is? Well, we stay in the book. We stay focused by studying. Now, first thing we're going to look at is something I found rather interesting, and some of you may recall a similar subject. I actually gave a message on this topic about a little over 5 years ago. And I wanted to see what some of the statistics I gave then, how they had changed today. The 6 most common causes of car accidents in the United States. And this is an article I found on the internet dated March 29th, 2012. some very interesting statistics. The first automobile accident that resulted in a fatality occurred in 1896 in London, England. At the time, the coroner that examined the body said, "This must never happen again." I'm sure he did. Unfortunately, since that accident, more than 25 million people have died in fatal car accidents. This is throughout the world. The sad part of this statistic is that we all know most of these accidents could have been avoided. And as time goes by, the death toll continues to grow. But what I want to look at is the six most common causes, and we're just going to touch on them because there's some pretty interesting stats in here that really relate to the topic we're covering today. The number one cause of accidents, and this is in the United States, distracted drivers. Distracted drivers are the number one cause of accidents on U.S. highways. The AAA has done an extensive research that tells us that anywhere from between 25% and 50% of all accidents have driver distractions of some type as the root cause. That's a pretty interesting stat. Now, as we all know, hey, technology, we've already talked about this. You know, technology keeps increasing. You know, things we've got today that we did, they keep trying to make cars safer and safer and safer. The safer they try to make them, the more accidents that take place. Well, one of the distracting causes, or one of the root causes of these distracting accidents, is the number one is rubbernecking. Rubbernecking at the scene of an accident is the number one cause of accidents. And this is something that I think you'll all kind of chuckle at. We've all seen it. While doing research, an officer was interviewed and stated that he has had as many as three additional accidents take place while he showed up on the scene of the first accident. So people looking over, and you lose focus, you lose attention, you forget what you're supposed to be doing, and the train wreck is more important than your driving skills at that time. Now, for those who are interested, I'm going to move on quickly. The second cause of accidents, and this is the United States, keep in mind, driver fatigue. Third, drunk driving. Fourth, speeding. Fifth, aggressive driving. And number six is the weather. We all know that there's many other causes. There's all kinds of causes for accidents. But the number one is distractions. Something going on in the car. You know, I mean, we've all been there. We've all done that, you know. Some of these distractions are actually pretty humorous the way the AAA describes it. There are many other things that cause accidents, continuing in the statistics online. It seems that the more safety features and the more technology that is added to vehicles, the more accidents happen. Is it all due to heavier volumes of traffic? And there's a question there. Alternatively, are drivers becoming overwhelmed by all the things inside their car? And I've got a GPS. My wife's got a GPS. I'm sure a lot of you out there have a GPS. Have you ever argued with your GPS? Or the GPS has turned you in the wrong direction? That can be very distracting. Possibly somebody behind you, making gestures in your rearview mirror, and the cell phone ringing. Maybe you just received a text message. Between overwhelming traffic and all of the other things going on inside cars, it's no wonder a driver is distracted. And the more we try, the more the auto industry tries to reduce accidents, make them less deadly, the more accidents happen and the more fatalities that take place. We've got a responsibility as God's people to stay focused, to stay, you know, keep our, if you will, our blinders on of what's in front of us, the goal, as Mr. McGee pointed out. Now, we don't have any statistics for the leading cause of spiritual accidents, but, you know, just I think I'm going to venture to say that it's when we become distracted, when we forget what the true goal is, we lose our focus, and suddenly we think we're right, and we move on in a different direction. So, are we all focused here today? Are we all paying attention or are we falling asleep? You know, where's our head? You know, do we remember last week's sermons? Do we remember the topic? Let's look at some examples of what a distraction is. And when I'm talking now, I'm talking spiritual distractions. And these are just examples. Satan, again, is the master of distraction, and he knows every button to push. He knows everything that's going to divert our attention. He knows what's going to turn us away. So, you know, some of these things may sound like a good thing, but they can turn into a spiritual distraction, because spiritual distractions and physical distractions tend to overlap one another. Sometimes they overlap one another. So a promotion at work sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Sounds like a great thing. And in many cases it is. But if that promotion at work has a tendency or could lead to you not studying near as much or serving the brethren near as much as you once did, hey, what is the money worth? What is the title worth? And where did your focus just go? Are you focusing now on that new responsibility that was just added to you? So that sounded like a good thing, but could tend to become, if we let it, and it's all how we deal with it, a spiritual distraction. Now, a couple other areas that are just minor examples of what could be. It could be a coworker that takes credit for maybe the job you did. You know, I know not too many people are real fond of somebody taking credit for what I did, for doing a good job. What about maybe the neighbor's trash blowing in your yard in a garbage day? Have you ever seen somebody walking their dog without the scooper and the bag in their hand and it's right near your yard? there are things that kind of get our emotions going. Now, how do we deal with these? Now, let's move on. I'm sure each of us can think of more than that. But in God's church, there's a lot of business owners. And I'm sure this is a real topic for a lot of folks. What about the customer that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try to please this person, he's not satisfied. And he wants his product delivered on Saturday. I don't care what you do. You know, as God's people, we have targets on us. You know, there are things that the world doesn't understand, but we as God's people should. It's human nature to retaliate when somebody smites us, when somebody does something vindictive. I mean, it's just, wow. We've all gotten kind of fired up over situations, the way people treat us, somebody, you know, that won't let you in traffic. Let's turn to our first scripture today, and let's turn over to Romans. Let's start in Romans today, Romans 12. And this is actually going to be Romans 12, and we're going to start off in verse 17. We're going to start in verse 17 of Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God made us a promise right there. It's not our job to retaliate. It's not our job or what we as God's people should be doing to retaliate and get our dander up, so to speak. The payment, it will be paid. Let's just put it that way. Now, again, I'm going to point out, as we continue, the destructive thing about distraction, either kind, physical or spiritual, is we didn't realize it until after it's done. We didn't realize that we don't see the distraction coming. It just happens, and then we realize it just happened. So let's get into some important things. So how do we avoid spiritual distractions? Well, start turning over to Hebrews 12, and we're going to learn how do we avoid spiritual distraction from the Bible. And it's pretty interesting how specific How specific God's word is in guiding us in the right direction, keeping us focused on what's truly important as God's people. Hebrews 12, and we're going to start in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Let's not be distracted. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking, focusing unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is there a lesson in there? Is there a lesson in that set of scriptures that tells us what we should be looking to? We should be looking to Jesus Christ. This is just one example that I'm going to point out today. There's so many others. I only picked a few. But they're very important instructions on how to move forward. There are many times, and let's talk about some of the distractions that really financial hardship. Since I gave a message on this topic 5 years ago, the world's economy's changed. A lot of businesses have shut down. Finances have been tough. It's affected quite a few. It's affected someone you know, guaranteed, if it hasn't affected you personally. And when the finances get tight, there's tendencies to become distracted. Tithe. Wow. A little more difficult to tithe when I don't have near as much money coming in. That is a spiritual distraction. That can be a spirit. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. It's just the fact of life that suddenly our priorities change when the situations around us change and we become distracted, not focusing on what's truly important. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'll go ahead and read it from my notes. Psalms 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Focus or unite my heart to fear your name. Now, what it's telling us here is to ask God for that focus, where we need to steer our attention. It's critical that we have a relationship and that we don't forsake it. When our life gets all stressed out, when some of the TV programs, and I know I'm a Trekkie, I've got my favorite shows, I love Star Trek. But is it a priority? Well, only if I let it be. Anything, and again, what is the definition of a spiritual distraction? Anything that becomes more important than God and serving the brethren. Anything that diverts our attention from what's truly important and focusing on me, focusing on ourselves. Health issues. Health issues is something that many of us are familiar with. They can become, if we allow it, a growing situation, or they can become a spiritual distraction that draws us away, separates us. I don't want to become a burden. I think I'm just going to stay away for a while because I don't want to be a burden. That's not what God tells us to do in His Word. We need to be there for one another, brethren. That's what it's all about. One of the hymns we sang today, we should be fitly together. We're different, but we should all speak the same language. Very important. Turn over quickly to Colossians 3 as we continue. Now let's look at a few more ways to avoid spiritual distractions. Colossians 3, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. This is where our focus and our attention should be. Not being sidetracked, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. This life is short. Yes, it's short. And sometimes it oh, sometimes it feels like it's just going to last forever. Wow, you know, especially when you're in a very serious trial. I wish things would end. But this life is short, and we've got a very short period of time. It's our one and only life to get it right. And we need to keep our focus in the right direction. And verse 3 of Colossians 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, this set of scriptures just told us exactly where our focus should be. Where do you want to be? At the end of this physical life, we need to stay focused. In verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And let's go through the list. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion. And what passion does is it takes away our humility, makes us, you know, covet something, makes us want something more than we should, makes something more important than God. This isn't a good passion. Evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And in verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We need to, as God's people, we attest to be God's people. We need to not be doing these things, staying focused on what is truly, truly important. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Anger. Sore subject with some, especially, I get angry all the time. This is something I need to get down on my knees and repent. I just get so frustrated where it turns into anger. Wrath. Malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. What kind of examples are we to those around us that aren't part of God's family? We can be that example, brethren, that leads others to God's truth, or that opens their eyes to being part of God's family. Do not lie to one another, verse 9. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. And this is another thing. When we start getting distracted, running out of time, getting all stressed out in this world's chaos, we put off, usually the first thing to go is study. According to the image of him who created him. Now let's look at some other ways real quick to overcome spiritual distractions. And again, spiritual distractions and physical distractions overlap one another. Turn over to 1 Timothy. Turn over quickly to 1 Timothy. And we're going to start in verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let's continue on. Till I come, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading. It tells us where to focus. Give attention to what? Give attention to reading. To exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Pretty specific is the way I read it anyway. Verse 15. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Focus on these things. Give your entire life to them. Now, it sounds pretty serious to me. that your progress may be evident to all. And finally, verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Pretty clear cut that we need to be examples to those around us, that we need to focus on how can we do this if we're at home? How can we do this if we're separated? How can we do this if we're drawing apart? We can't. We are a family. We are God's family, and we should be together with one another. Now, I want to read a commentary that I thought was very fitting for today's message that I found on the UCG website. It's a commentary from This is the Way. It was entitled Blinders, Bad and Good. Pretty interesting. Okay? Blinders, bad and good. When we find the one true way, let us never allow anything to distract us. Blinders or blinkers are devices to keep horses from seeing to the side, and they were necessary to protect horses in cities or heavy traffic areas where sudden moves or things happening around them could keep them or could distract them or spook them. You know, I mean, for those older folks or those from the Midwest, Pennsylvania, you see those blinders on the horses. They keep them looking straight forward. In our Christian lives, continuing in the commentary, in our Christian lives, we need to be sure we aren't wearing blinders based on our own thoughts and ideas. Our virtues can become the only true virtues when we wear such blinders. So we've got to think about that. Sometimes we can be a huge distraction to ourselves and to those around us. The Bible speaks of the way, not the many different ways. The way. We all need to be on the same page. We all need to think similarly. Now, we're all different. Yeah, I'm going to have a little different attitude than somebody else, but we've all got to be on the same page when it comes to what the goal is. What the goal is. Not the many different ways to please God. God's word is truth, and our responsibility is to ensure that our way matches His way. Continuing in the commentary. Then we can use blinders to keep anything from distracting us. Then the blinders come into play from God's path, not our own. We can't have our own path. There's no such thing as, well, I've got this right. I've read the Bible 5 times. I've got this all figured out. I know the truth. This is the way. This is the way. No, there's only one way, and that's God's way. Now, I'll refer to a set of scriptures. You can write these down for the sake of time. I won't read them. Acts 18, verses 25 and 26. And it really kind of exemplifies that article that commentary off out of the UCG website. Now, there is an article that also has some great information that I want to just quote a few passages from or a few paragraphs from. This article is entitled The Danger of Distraction. And it was written by Scott Ashley, and this is from the Good News Magazine, posted August 1st, 2010. Starting off in the article, some 26 centuries ago, an angelic messenger revealed to the prophet Daniel what would be a defining characteristic of our age. At the time of the end, he said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. You can find that in Daniel 12, verse 4. In fact, let's read it real quick. In Daniel 12, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it from my notes. Daniel 12 and verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Many will be distracted. There's just so much to do, so little time to get it done. And knowledge shall increase. Well, I kind of did a little, you know, word search on that. It didn't necessarily mean good knowledge. It just means information that we can communicate a lot quicker, a lot faster. Knowledge sometimes can be that word that you got to be careful with. In Daniel's day, who in his wildest dreams could have foreseen the huge changes in transportation and information technology that have so powerfully reshaped our world? Excuse me. Have you ever considered how many great men, and this is ways in Mr. Ashley's article that really put us back on track. This is ways where we can overcome the distractions that he just spoke about. Have you ever considered how many great men spent considerable time alone in the wilderness? Now, we've got Mr. McGee spoke talked about it. We got those youth up in camp right now, I'm sure having the time of their life. God's people focused on God's plan with those of like mind. But at the same time, with what we're speaking about here, let's go on in this article. Moses spent 40 years as a shepherd tending the flocks in the desert. David grew up in the outdoors as a shepherd boy. His many psalms reflect the formative part of his life. Elijah fled to the desert and escaped the wrath of the murderous Jezebel. Now, let's look at our primary or our main example going on in the article. Jesus Christ went regularly away into the wilderness to avoid the crowds and continue to commune with his Father, just as he had done at the beginning of his ministry. The Apostle Paul, similarly, went into the desert for 3 years. Now, I don't really recommend that we, you know, kind of take off and go out and sit in the woods or whatever for 3 years. But this is how they communed. This is how they stayed focused on God's law, God's plan. This is how they stayed connected. With all of these men, something about the calm and quiet of the wilderness purged their minds of life's distraction. In their solitude, God could fill them with purpose and passion. In the calm of quietness came conviction. There's times we need to step back from this world, and this world can be extremely overwhelming. Too many of us know that. Where we need to sit back, we need to just take a break. God warned more than 2,700 years ago that people can be and are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And why do they have that? Because they're not focused on what's important. Continuing in the article, it refers to Hosea 4 and verse 6. And I'll just read it again for my notes. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. So we reject God. Guess what he does back? If we don't focus on where he tells us to focus on what is truly important in our lives as God's people, we're going to be rejected. When we knock on the door, I want God to open and say, good and faithful servant. I think all of us here do. Because you have forgotten my law, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So it's not all just about you either. It's about your lineage. It's about those who come after you. Now, as we start wrapping things up here, I want to read another commentary from the church's website. Another one that fit in just perfectly. From This Is the Way, it's commentary from November 3rd, 2009. Keep your focus on the target. And these are tools to help us stay in line for where we should be. It's easy to become distracted by the world, but we must maintain clear vision of our goal. And Mr. McGee touched on that in the first message. We've got to have a clear vision. We've got to understand what the goal is. Now, reading from the commentary, hitting the bull's eye means hitting the center of a target in some endeavor. In order to have success, we must see the center circle clearly. Now, I've said in the past that as God's people, we've got a bullseye on us. I don't want everybody else seeing that center circle on me. But in order to have success, we must see that center circle clearly. Once we perceive the object, we can shoot for it and shoot for it straight and hard. We have to focus on the targets in our life unless we are taking a necessary break. We must focus on the targets in our life. So put some balance in there. It does. There are times we have to pull back. We've got to take a break. But we still need to take a necessary break and commune with nature, if you will, to meditate, as we read before. But we must watch out for diversions that take our minds off the main objective. Lot's wife struggled with distraction that ended in her demise. She looked back at what she was leaving with longing in her eyes rather than forward to a better goal and purpose in life. And you can read about that in Genesis 19 about Lot's wife. When you take your eyes off of the target, or you don't have a clear idea of what the target really is, we're setting ourselves up. We need to stay focused. We can't allow that master of distraction who rules this world. Who rules this world? He creates all these diversions, and it's how we manage them as God's people, as individuals, that's most important. Now, continuing in that commentary, or concluding in that commentary, we will not hit our target unless we focus our attention fully and clearly on the goal. Life demands that we know the destination and purpose of our life. Without such focus, we end up wandering aimlessly and without success. If we don't have that true focus, if we don't have that true vision that God gives us as God's people, when we were baptized, or those that are considering baptized, we should have a goal. What is the purpose of you doing what you're doing? Why are we here today? Mr. Armstrong used to ask that question quite frequently. Without such focus, we end up wandering aimlessly without success. We must learn from Lot's wife and keep the vision of the future God offers us clearly in our mind. It needs to be crystal clear. How do we do that, brethren? We do that with the material and the tools that we've got available in God's church. We've got booklets. We've got God's Word right here that we need to stay focused on, and we need to read it regularly. This needs to be our top priority. We can't become distracted. So, again, in conclusion, this is one of the best tools I can think of to keep our focus and our attention where it should be. Now, let's consider our example, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, in Gethsemane, well, that's a hard word to say, prayed for strength, saying, "Not my will, not my will, Father, but yours be done." Let's go ahead and turn over, if you will. Let's go to Matthew as one of our last scriptures. Let's turn over to Matthew real quick. Matthew 26. And verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, now, Jesus was just as susceptible as we are as human beings, because at that time he was a human being. He could become distracted, but he had that clear vision, that clear focus that we all need to have. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is possible, I really don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, ask yourself, am I asking that God's will be done? Am I asking that, are we all asking that God's will be done? Or are we all distracted with our own will? We need to keep things in perspective. And for our final scripture, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm turning to the scripture and I didn't tell you which one. 1 Corinthians 7. And this sums up exactly what we're talking about today. 1 Corinthians 7, and let's look at verse 35. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you. You know, God's not trying to tie us up. He's not trying to hamstring us. He wants to make things better for us. He wants to give us eternal life. But for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord. Serve the Lord without distraction. That we can stay focused on what the true goal is. What the true priority should be is focusing on God the Father, serving the brethren, and looking back at that definition of a spiritual distraction, anything that diverts our attention from doing those things and turning them inwards towards me, that is a spiritual distraction. Brethren, let's not be spiritually distracted. Let's stay focused on the goal.